Blog Talk Radio.
Sports, which way's going? Oh, it's about to get cranked. Ready? Oh, yeah. Never get sick of that.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Time is now, Robert. You know what it is. Of course, it is Talking Sports and Tough Man. Welcome, everyone, today. Of course, it is Tuesday, August the 12th, and you are Talking Sports for the 12th Man. I, of course, am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Rob Ford, and as always, got to check in. Mr. Rob, how you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man, doing great. In the ATL, checking on the rival Falcons, you know, and trying to give a report back. You know how it is.
I'm actually in Houston kind of checking out the Houston Texans here, so it's been a fun excursion, man. So, I mean, what can we say? Man, we are ready to go as always. But without further ado, Rob,
are Houston Texans going to sign a quarterback down here?
They're going to have to, man. It's pretty rough, man. If you kind of heard some stories, we're going to talk about quarterback play in the preseason too. But without further ado, Rob, I want to throw out the number to the show. If you do want to call in and give us your thoughts, your feedback, the number to call in the show, as always, guys, it is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. If you are inclined, you want to check us out on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you put in Talking Sports the 12th Man, you'll find a nice handsome shot of me, yours truly, possibly one of Robert, too. And then finally, if you want to follow us via Twitter, you can follow us at the number 12. I put it out there. 12THMN Sports for our Twitter handle, too. But, man, Rob, let's go ahead and throw it out. Some big news kind of on the NBA front. We're going to save our NFL stuff for a little bit later in the show. But, Rob, man, finally, looks like the Clippers have a brand-new owner. Looks like Steve Ballmer officially owns the Clippers. That's a lot of good news if you are a Clippers fan, if you're a Chris Paul, Doc Rivers fan, if you will. What does this mean for the Clippers, Rob?
Well, obviously, they're able to put the dumpster on the echo behind them, or close to putting it behind them here. Ballmer, you know, one of the richest men in America, paid $2 million to buy the Clippers. This is great, actually, for the NBA. The value of the league increases with this purchase. And obviously, it's good for the Clippers organization, too. One of the things Dr. Rivers made mention of, he says, you know, the free agents that they courted this offseason, they had no owner to come in and greet them and shake their hand. And he said it was tough for them to attract free agents without any direction or real owner in place. So now is this, you know, brings some stability back to the organization. And if you're a Clippers fan, you're a Clippers, and, you know, if you work for the Clippers, if you're a coach or employee as well as the players, this now, you know, brings some stability back into the organization for the Clippers at the moment.
Yeah, it's a great move. Like you talked about, Steve Ballmer, one of the richest men right now. And I think it's pretty interesting, too, because he had actually was recently kind of rumored to kind of be involved, Rob, with the Sacramento Kings to try to kind of move into Seattle. But that didn't actually pan out, and he kind of was pretty happy because he was trying to buy a team. The Clippers are very valuable in Los Angeles, so, you know, it's a good move, man. So that's a great opportunity. It's you know, kind of the end of a chapter of Donald Sterling in that particular era too, man. So it's pretty good. And do you think this is going to affect them, Rob? I mean, you know, right now, like you talked about not having free agents, are they going to be able to kind of like bounce back because of this, Rob, or is this going to set them back a little bit, you think?
Well, I still think they're top four team in the Western Conference. I mean, when you look at their roster right now, you still have Chris Paul, you still have big defensive Jordan. They was able to bring in Spencer Hawes, another big man, 7-footer that can step out and hit jump shots. And so, I mean, they, you know, did, I guess the one guy that they lost that may hurt him was Darren Collison, backup point guard. You might have to, you know, see what you can do to fix that situation. But right now, if you look at the Western Conference, I would still place them maybe in that number three or number four slot behind the Spurs and Oklahoma City as far as, you know, who the best teams are in the Western Conference. So are they still going to be right up there? Are they a championship team yet? I don't think so.
Wow. Yeah, we'll keep moving. The West is always one of those tough divisions, Rob, and they still have to contend with the defending NBA champions, the San Antonio Spurs. We'll keep an eye on that situation as it plays along. Let's talk about it. You've got some experience with Byron Scott coaching the Pelicans and also the Hornets before they moved. But what do you think about this opportunity with him signing on with the Lakers? You know, he's got an older Kobe, you know, a young player, obviously, with Julius Randle and Steve Nash. So if you're Byron Scott, I guess the question is, can you actually win with the Lakers? Is this a good move?
Well, I don't think it'll be this year, that's for sure. This Lakers team might be the 12th best team in the Western Conference this coming season. And,
12?
You know, yeah, you know, 10th, 11th, or 12th at best. And from what I can see, they look like about the 12th best team in the Western Conference. And so not this year. I think they need some pieces. If they're patient, I think he can win with them, but it just won't be this season. And the good thing about the Lakers organization is typically and historically they've been able to attract players. And so you have to think in another year or two they should be able to start attracting some players again. I think right now, though, I don't think any elite players want to play with Kobe Bryant. I think that's the problem. And I think at some point the Lakers organization is just going to have to simply cut ties with him and, you know, and move forward. And I think he's probably holding the organization back at the moment. And so I think that's the problem. The Lakers won't win this year, that's for sure. I think it's going to take at least another 2 to 3 years.
Robert is firing some shots, talking about, you know, no one wants to play with Kobe. So if you're a Lakers fan, you know, definitely I'd like to get your feedback on this too, man, because right now it's pretty interesting. But, you know, Kobe's nearing the end. As we talked about, they are probably going to have to cut ties with him. But we'll see how it plays out for sure. I don't know, Rob, but we'll keep an eye on it. So I agree with you that they're going to be definitely, you know, not have opportunity to kind of get that high. I just like to talk on the rankings too, but we'll keep an eye on that situation for sure. Let's kind of talk real briefly about the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, that was a devastating injury to Paul George. Good news, Rob, that he is going to make a full recovery, but it looks like he's going to be out for a year. So if you're a Pacers fan, I mean, does this kind of set you back, or is it an opportunity for another player to kind of step up? They've actually lost Lance Stevenson, but what do you think about this scenario, Rob?
Well, obviously, this is good and bad news if you're an Indiana Pacers fan. The good news is it's not a career-ending injury. He should be back, not this season, but next season. Of course, the bad news is he is out this entire season, which is probably going to put the Indiana Pacers in the lottery next year. It's going to be hard for them to make the playoffs without Paul George. Roy Hibbert is deteriorating. There's no Lance Stevenson. David West is getting up in age. And it's going to be tough for this team to make the playoffs. And if they do, it's going to be as a, like a number 8 seed or something like that. But from the outside looking in, you know, I think this team may, you know, just, you know, miss the playoffs. Because when you look at the Eastern Conference right now, you got Cleveland, you have Chicago. I mean, you can easily make a case that they're 1 and 2. And then you go down, you're going to see a much improved Charlotte Hornets ball club this year. The Washington Wizards are going to be there. And the Miami Heat still going to be a playoff team without LeBron James, just not a championship team. I look for the Atlanta Hawks to be slightly better with getting Al Horford back. So, I mean, you're looking at your top 6 teams in the Eastern Conference right there. And then I haven't even talked about Toronto Raptors yet, and they're right there.
Oh, wow.
Really, probably a top four, top five team, Toronto Raptors right there. So that's your top seven in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, and I'm sure I may be even missing somebody as well. So I think at best, you know, Indiana's number eight behind those seven teams. And like I said, that's at best. And, you know, you got the Phil Jackson, New York Knicks. You know, I'm sure they're going to be contending for that number eight spot. So, and then, of course, we haven't even talked about the New Jersey, the Brooklyn Nets, I'm sorry, with Deron Williams. You know, losing Paul Pierce. They're getting Brook Lopez back. They still have Joe Johnson. I mean, I would still put the Brooklyn Nets over the Indiana Pacers. I can't see the Pacers make the playoffs next year.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rob. It's going to be tough. There's just too many scenarios. I don't think they did enough in the offseason to rebuild. But, you know, sometimes it's rather to be easy to be lucky than good because, you know, they get Paul George back. If they get a top pick, looks like, Rob, they'll be right back in there. You know, there's some chemistry issues, obviously, that they have to overcome. But, yeah, Rich most certainly get richer, too.
Well, you know, the one positive. You know, if they get a good player in the lottery next year and then they get Paul George back next year, then you could talk about a team that's real competitive again when he comes back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like we talked about, the playoffs, Rob, has a way of kind of letting you see your weaknesses. So it's definitely a way to kind of, you know, analyze things that you want to get stronger as a team, too. So good job, man. Appreciate that. Got a lot of things
I'll give you a quick example. The San Antonio Spurs were a perennial playoff team in the 1990s. David Robinson gets hurt. He misses the whole season. The Spurs get in the lottery, and guess who they draft?
Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan, they're right back in the playoffs. They were not only right back in the playoffs, they've won five championships since then.
Yeah, that's a lucky scenario. You can't script that one out, man. That's just amazing how that played out.
Yeah. And obviously Indiana will have to be extremely lucky for that to happen to them. But, you know, we'll see. You know, there's a great chance that they can be in the lottery next year.
Yeah, good call. I like what you talked about in this category regarding Stephen Curry. Is he a better offensive player than LeBron James? And I guess, you know, right now his game is a little bit – he may be tops in a couple categories. You know, LeBron can do a lot. But what do you think? What are your thoughts about this particular scenario for this question?
Well, this Stephen Curry made the comment that he's a better offensive player than LeBron James, but he said, you know, I can't say I'm a better all-around player than LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna even disagree that he's a better offensive player than LeBron James too, because I think LeBron impacts the game in so many ways. I think.
Yeah.
Stephen Curry is a better shooter than LeBron, I will say that. But I wouldn't say he's a better offensive player because when you think offense, you know, you're talking about great passers. LeBron James sets up his teammates well. He's a penetrator. He's an improved shooter. He's not as good as a shooter as Stephen Curry. There's no doubt about it. But I think when you talk about all-around offensive game, I think he has a bigger influence on getting his teammates involved. Than Stephen Curry does. So I would still say that LeBron is a better offensive player. Stephen Curry is a better shooter, though.
Yeah, good call. I mean, no doubt. Stephen has been renowned for that shooting touch. Del Curry, his dad, so I'm sure he probably showed us some tricks. He was a killer, killing at Davidson. So, you know, what can you say? But I agree with you. LeBron, you know, he's one of the, you know, obviously top four in the league, you know. And not saying that Stephon is not there, but just right now, the whole league has been noticed of how this guy is impacting the game too, man. So, yeah, no doubt, 100% in agreement with you, Rob, on those points. We're kind of a good halfway point in the show. Want to fill out the numbers once again one more time for those that are out there to give us your thoughts, your all that fun stuff. Once again, 424-243-9519. That's the number to call into the show. Once again, give us your thoughts, feedback, all that good jazz. Let's kind of take a quick break, Rob. Let's talk about our fantasy football update. I'm going to throw that to you. Man, we want to thank everyone out there for signing up in our leagues. It's been great, turnout. Rob, you want to give a quick update as far as that right now, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. 12-man sports. Of course, we're expanding. Last year, we had two fantasy football leagues. This year, we have three. Two of our three fantasy football leagues are completely free. They're for fun. One of those leagues have checked in full, but we still have two remaining spots in one of our free leagues. So if anyone's interested, please send us your email address. You can message us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the Top Man, or you can message us on Twitter at 12 Man Sports. Send us your email address. You know, we have two spots left in our free league. And we also have a paid league. We have two spots left in that league as well. There's a $30 entry. The winner will take home $300, and the second place will receive $60. So we have two spots left in the paid league. So if we have any interested, please notify if you want to be in a free league or the paid league, or if you would like to be in both, please specify that when you message your email addresses so we can send you invites. Once again, Talking Sports with the 12th Man on Facebook and at 12th Man Sports on Twitter.
Thank you, sir, as always. Good job setting that up. Let's kind of change gears, like I always like to say. It's time to talk some more football. And Richie Incognito Rob, he was the center among a lot of controversial stuff last year. We remember that. We don't want to beat that topic in the ground. But I guess the question is, you know, is he going to play in a 2014, or is he kind of like blackballed? Or what are your thoughts on Richie Incognito?
I'm going to say yes, he is going to play this season. And this is what I think is going to happen. I think I'm going to wait to after week one to sign him, because any contracts that are done after week one don't have to be guaranteed. And so I think there are going to be some teams that are going to take a chance on him. There's already a few teams interested. The Seattle Seahawks have some interest. The 49ers have some interest. The Raiders have some interest. So
Raiders.
There's some teams out there that have some interest and Richie Incognito, believe it or not. So, but in my prediction, this is just a gut on my part. I think teams are going to wait after week one. Because, you know, any contracts for veterans that are done after week one does not have to be guaranteed. And if he doesn't have the right attitude, they don't lose anything and they can release him. But I don't think teams want to take the chance of signing him right now, because if they do, contract will have to be guaranteed for the season.
Gotcha. Good stuff, man. Well, you know, I agree. I think he will play. You know, I mean, rumors about the Falcons too, man. They need to upgrade that center position too. But we'll keep an eye on it as it goes on. I think it's a great point. After week one,
he's more of a guard,
guaranteed money. Yeah, that's right. He plays a little guard. I know that there's some opportunity to move a couple people too. But we'll keep an eye on that too. You know, it is interesting to see how it plays out. Let's keep it moving. And if you are the St. Louis Rams, they've got a lot of high scores, Rob, for having a great draft, right? You know, their defense, they've got some top picks on that defensive line, and obviously Michael Sam, I don't want to throw that out there, but just, you know, obviously what's happening with that. The question is, can they put it all together this year and have a breakthrough year? I guess a couple things depends on that, and that's the quarterback, Sam Bradford. I'm not quite sure if he's the answer. But defensively, they are going to be a tough, physical, great, well-coached team by Jeff Fisher, Rob.
Absolutely. They might have the best defensive line in football when you think about Chris Long, Robert Quinn. Of course, the Rams played the Saints in the preseason this past weekend, so I got a chance to look at them a little bit. And Aaron Donald, first-round defensive tackle from Pittsburgh, had a very good game. I thought he was even more impressive than the number two pick, Greg Robinson. And so obviously that's just one game, of course. But I thought he was really good. And you add him to that defensive line that was already potent and tough. You got Michael Brockers from LSU there. I mean, that's going to be a very good defensive front. When you look at their roster, extremely talented roster, Tavon Austin is a playmaker offensively. They went out and got the tight end. His name is tight end he signed from Tennessee. It's a solid weapon. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Drawing a blank there. But he's going to give them another weapon in the passing game. But I think what you said is going to be the key. Sam Bradford And I think that's, I think they are still an average ball club with Sam Bradford at quarterback. So I'm thinking 8-8, 9-7 at best is still going to be tough for them to surpass Seattle, San Francisco, and even Arizona for that matter. I think that NFC West is one of the toughest, if not the toughest division in football. And I think their roster is talented enough for them to go a long way, but I still don't know if they have it at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I agree with you. McKee, I'm thinking of the tight end, which one you're thinking of, but that's okay. We'll touch base on
that.
Yeah, Jericho. That's you thinking, Jericho. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, he's a solid weapon at the tight end position.
A little bit more. So tell us about your thoughts on Greg Robinson. Was he struggling? He wasn't getting pass protection. What was your general consensus about him, Rob?
Well, he was solid, but Aaron Donald just stood out a little bit more. It was nothing that Greg Robinson did wrong, but Aaron Donald just, you know, right now the Rams are playing Greg Robinson at left guard. And, of course, you know, he was a tackle in college, and they drafted him to be a tackle. So I think they're going to probably play him at left guard this year and try to move him to tackle next year. And obviously he's probably, you know, still in the process of learning the position. But Aaron Donald got on the backfield a couple of times, made some plays in the ball game. And so you would have to made some play. I think Greg Robinson's really probably just learning a new position. But, you know,
gotcha.
When you look at the running back position for the Rams, you got Zach Stacy. And you got Trey Mason from Auburn, too, who's going to be a solid backup for him at the running back position, too. So there's weapons on this team.
So they got the guy. Do they have the guy, Darrell Richard, or something like that? I'm thinking of who am I thinking of that other running back, too, as well? That's okay. Forgive me, people. It's been a long day. But, yeah, they got some weapons. It seems like they're building a lot of depth, Rob. But you said it correctly. It all hinges upon Sam Bradford. I'm not quite sure if he's the answer. If they don't do it this year after surrounding him and, you know, a lot of weapons like we talked about earlier, Bradford may be on his way out too. So you may have to cut bait on him as well, Rob.
Well, it's a make-or-break season for Sam Bradford. But the Rams, here's the deal. They got the game. They got a solid offensive line. And they got a great defense. A little ball control. Control the clock. They're going to be in a lot of games. They're probably going to be in every game they play. But, that's going to be the problem. And that's why I still think they're going to be borderline 8-8, 9-7 at best. But they're going to be competitive, and you're not going to blow them out.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about I want to save enough time because we may not do the OT tonight just because I know everyone's crazy busy here. But I want to get your thoughts, Rob, as far as the first preseason here week. Anybody that impressed you and anything you want to comment? I got to tell you, off the bat, Rob, I was thoroughly impressed with Blake Bortles, quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're on the street, they were thinking about sitting him. But the way he played, he looked poised in the pocket. He was making strong throws. I was thoroughly impressed with him, Rob, and I think he's definitely going to start day one.
I think Jacksonville, I know the plan is filling this season, but I think if he keeps playing at this level, you got to throw him in the fire. You got to give your team the best chance to win. And I would agree with you. Obviously, we still want to see what he's going to do his next few weeks in the preseason before, you know, get some more evaluation. And but if he keeps playing at that level, I think if you're either Jaguars, you got to go ahead and start him.
Yeah, I mean, just a good game. And not to say that it was expected. I think maybe I had, like, lower expectations, but I was watching. I was like, man, this guy, he looks poised, man. You know, we've had some comparisons to Big Ben and got a big arm. You want to continue, Rob, to develop the talent with him to grow that talent. But at Jacksonville, we're not going to be laughing too much longer. I would definitely confident in that, Rob.
That's to watch, and we'll continue to be and wait in the next week's on the show as well.
Gotcha. Moving right along as always, you know how we but got about five, we've got close to 6 minutes here, but I do want to throw out the numbers one more time as we get ready to kind of get to the final part of the show. The number to call in is 424 423-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Let's jump back in. Percy Harvin, Rob Limps at Seahawks practice today. What's that about? Nervous here? What's about? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, obviously, if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan or anybody in that organization, you got to be a little nervous here because, you know, he went down in training camp last year and missed most of the season. Obviously, we don't know the severity of the injury at this point. At this point, I'm not sure we don't. Maybe we'll get a little bit more information tomorrow. Obviously, as a fan of the game, you want to see every team have all their players happy. So obviously you're wishing the best and hope that he's going to be on the field. And, you know, so we'll have to see how it plays out here. But I think you have to be a little worried about this situation for the Seattle Seahawks. But hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on the situation, like you said, Rob, right now. Not too much details, but I'm sure we'll get some more as that plays out. Let's talk about real quick Brian Hoyer, Johnny Manziel this past weekend. And you know, if you're under a rock, you know that Johnny Manziel played. You know, and what are your thoughts about this? And real quick, Rob, you did a quick recap as far as how he did. I was pretty impressed. I mean, not as impressed with Bortles, but I think he held his own. He ran, missed a couple of reads, but that's just him being young. And then Hoyer, you know, had a couple high throws, but, you know, what are your thoughts? You think this is a good move? And then, they're going to talk about their reps versus Washington. That's that, right? Good deal.
Well, every week I seem to change my stance on this situation. So I'm trying to change again here. Obviously, they're going to split reps with the first team, and more than likely it's week two of the preseason. Most of the time, your first team plays into the second quarter in their second preseason game, and so they're going to split reps with the first team. But I'm more and more as I'm sensing this here, I think Johnny Manziel maybe you start week one different rounds. And just like I just made comment about, do the same thing with Manziel. You spent the first round pick on a kid. The fans want to see him play. I think you're going to have to throw him under fire and see what he can do as a starter. And then if it doesn't pan out, you can always go to the veteran Hoyer.
I was thinking, Rob, and tell me if you may call me crazy, but if you are the Browns, do you think that you're going to play Hoyer to possibly get a draft pick out of him? Because I'm thinking that they're going to definitely turn on the reins to Manziel, but do you think they want to play Hoyer to kind of let him develop and possibly get probably that into an extra pick somewhere?
Well, I think you have to be totally comfortable with Manziel as a starter. I don't think he's quite there just yet. And
okay.
I know the Browns just went out and signed Rex Grossman, too, to add something to their roster.
Uh-huh.
But I think you have to be, like, you know, totally comfortable with Manziel as your starter. So I think it'll be a little bit premature to trade Hoyer now. Maybe if Manziel has a great season this year, and then maybe you can start talking about trading Hoyer to get some draft picks for him.
Gotcha. Well, as always, Phil, America, we appreciate you joining in. Rob, we got about a minute and 40-something seconds. Can you go ahead and wrap up the show? I don't think we're going to jump to OT, Rob, if you don't mind. I'm a little spent, but can you go ahead and set up the show next week and get ready to wrap up this particular issue of Talking Sports with 12 Men?
Absolutely. Next Tuesday, actually, now that I think about it, I'm thinking maybe next week we should have our show either on Monday or Wednesday. But we'll talk about it later. Stay tuned. Take a look at our Facebook page and our Twitter posts, and we'll update you for our show on next week. Once again, it'll be either on Monday or Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central will be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you don't want to miss it on next week. We're continuing NFL training camp. And one of the things we were going to talk about tonight was the college football playoff predictions. Since we didn't get to it, maybe we'll talk about it on next week.
Sounds like a plan, Rob. So as always, we appreciate you tuning in. As always, thank you once again for the opportunity. And that is what we do. So Don't forget, we are here every Tuesday, most likely, but we'll give you a heads up as far as what direction we're going to go. Rob, we appreciate you joining, man. I can't believe we're kind of on opposite time zones. I'm in Central and you're in Eastern, so have a good evening, sir.
We switched places tonight.
We did switch places. Good night, people. Have a good evening. Good night.
Okay.